Good morning to all of you. During this week, our sanctuary doubles as a beautiful venue for the Christmas concert, and because of that, we'd like to ask your assistance. I'll read this note for you. At the end of the service today, please take the hymn book and the rack from the seats near you as we compress the seats for the concerts for the rest of this week. Please keep the book in the rack. Don't separate them. And carry them either downstairs through the front door up here or through the narthex and down the stairs in the back. And there will be someone waiting at the bottom of the stairs to collect them. We're going to put them in the classroom right below the sanctuary. So thank you for your help.
The words chosen for this morning are found in Psalm 89, beginning with the 26th verse. He shall cry to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." In Jesus Christ, the Bethlehem child, dear fellow redeemed, a man who owned a rent-a-Santa business, yes, there are such things, told his employees, he gave them this warning. He said, "When the little children sit on your lap, you can talk about anything, but don't promise them anything." Don't promise him anything. You can't guarantee delivery. They'll possibly have a very depressing, disappointing Christmas if you do. How different that is from Christmas with God. He promises and he fulfills. He delivers. Through the prophets, he promised the child redeemer. And he delivered on that first holy night. This morning, then, we want to look at that birth and realize that there's really a threefold birth involved. His first birth is his eternal generation from the Father. Before all worlds, before the creation, from everlasting to everlasting, the second person of the Trinity was in the relationship of a son to the first person, the Father. Thus we say, he's the only begotten of the Father before all worlds. He was always the first person's son. So he could say in this text, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. There never was when he was not. Contrary to the ancient Arian heresy and errorists today who say that he has a beginning. We confess he was begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. His first birth, the eternal generation, always born of the Father. His second birth is the one we usually think about. His second birth is his physical birth in Bethlehem from the womb of the Blessed Virgin. Becoming true man. The second person of the Holy Trinity, the divine Logos, assumed into himself a pure human nature from the womb of the Virgin Mary, so that the two natures, the human and divine, were so intimately united that there is one undivided person in Christ. So when that child was born, think about it, the Almighty God was born. Thus we say that the Virgin is the Theotokos, the mother of God, for from her womb God is born. But why? What's the reason for it all? Why did God become man? Because all of us fell in Adam's fall. The hymn says, one common sin infects us all. Without that birth, we are going to hell. But God became man to raise up our lost and fallen race. And we can see that lost condition in ourselves still today, can't we? Because I got up this morning thinking of all the good things that I wanted to do today, and I've already insulted my wife and a variety of other things. So often we endanger our happy home by thinking more of ourselves than those around us. So often we're filled with bitterness, we grouch around. People ask me how I am today. I'm surviving is usually my first reaction. Terrible, isn't it? And we can go on. In our leisure time, we gossip and rip those apart that are one with us in the body of Christ, even on this campus. But God became a little child to raise our lost and fallen race. And let this picture from ancient Greece explain a little bit. There was a great warrior, a true hero of Troy, dressed in shining armor and full battle array. He looked as fierce as great Achilles himself. We've seen the movie with Brad Pitt in it, imagine. Dressed in shining armor. He was marching off to battle. But he noticed his little daughter wasn't there. And he went to say goodbye. He found her sinking into a murky pool with quicksand at its bottom. He ran to help her. But she, seeing his armor, moved away, pulled away deeper into the pool, almost to the point where she couldn't breathe. He realized what was wrong. He ripped off the armor, and in love ran for his child, trying to grab her in that murky pool, started to sink himself, but he grabbed her garment, and then he made his way back slowly to safe ground, pulled her into his arms against his strong chest, where his heart throbbed as if to say, I love you. I'd give my life for you. Thanks be to God. That's what Bethlehem, that's what Christmas Eve is for you. Jesus covered his fiery deity with our humble humanity so that we wouldn't be afraid to calm our fears, to show us his love, and to lift us up from the dirt and mire of sin. He took upon himself all my sins, all my failures of already this morning, and can you imagine how many they are if you count up my 62 years? He took all of those upon himself. He took the death that I deserved and that you deserved. And he took the hell that you deserved and I deserved. And he endured the pain, the horrors, and gives each of us in exchange his forgiveness, full forgiveness, real life, divine life, and the assurance of heaven. He became as we are, enduring human death, so that we could be as he is, the sons of God, living in heaven's fair home. And now the third birth. It becomes really personal here. He desires to be born in each of us. He was and is born in each of us by faith, so that we can receive all the blessings of the incarnation. As that child was born from the Virgin's womb, so he was born in us through the watery womb of baptism, so that we can be reborn as the sons and daughters of God. There's wonderful comfort here for you and me in the fact that he has been born in us by faith, that he desires to make his manger in our hearts and has in our baptism. We have the certainty this Christmas, amid all the fleeting earthly pleasures that go on, that there is real Christmas joy for each of us. And it's centered in the one who gave his life for us. So then this morning, regardless of the burden you're carrying, regardless of the struggle that you're facing, and I know there's lots of things that just rip our hearts out sometimes. There's things that are happening that make all those Christmas carols just kind of mock us. Don't despair. The holy night offers hope. The child in the manger is the Almighty God. He became God for you and me. He became poor and lowly to raise us up to his divine glory. He died to give us life. Therefore, we know that regardless of what we're facing today, regardless of what's taking our joy away, He's there as our helper, our comforter, and friend. He gives the strength that we need in his life-giving word and the holy sacraments. This Christmas season and today, take your burdens, take your sins, your struggles, and that thing that's eating inside of you, and lay it in the straw of the manger that's present for you in the means of grace, and receive his peace, comfort, and joy, the true gift of Christmas. Amen. We will arise and sing the hymn. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, I humbly pray, grant it, dearest Savior, that thou wouldst dwell in me this day and here abide forever. So let me be thy cradle blessed. Come within my heart to rest, my precious joy and treasure. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.